Thank you for watching, sister. Good morning. You guys can. That was beautiful. Truly, nothing compares to the promise that we have in Jesus.
Amen.
As we were talking about promises in Sunday school this morning, promises in the Bible, the promise that we have in Jesus has a condition. It requires that we depend on Him and we give our lives to Him. And that promise will be fulfilled in us. And it is the hope of glory that we have. And we are promised. Praise God. Couple of announcements today. Our prayer cards. Please don't forget to be praying for the person that you have on your prayer card. Each of us have been given a person, another person in the church. No one knows who has your name. But every day we're praying for our prayer cards. So if you don't have a prayer card, you don't have somebody to pray for, and you would like someone, you would like one, Pastor Kevin has those. The first opportunity you see him, ask him for one. He'll be glad to give you one. But please, do pray for the people that you have on your prayer cards on a daily basis. God is moving through that. God moves through prayer. Our prayers move God. Praise God. Isn't that great?
Amen.
Again, please be in prayer for our pastor as he recovers from the sickness that he has. A couple of announcements for the ladies before we go into the message. There's going to be, in the fall, there's going to be a retreat that our ladies try to do every year. That'll be in September. A sign-up sheet is there in the back, or it will be in the back. Just keep that in mind. If anyone wants to participate in that, they're free to. The church will be able to take care of expenses for that if you would like to go. Also, in the more immediate future, there's going to be a ladies' tea party. And that's going to be, is it at Victory? Is that correct? That'll be at Victory Fellowship. And that'll be coming up real soon. The date and the time for that is yet to be announced, but it looks like it's probably going to be the Saturday before Mother's Day. That being said, Brother Todd was telling me before the service, before the service this morning. Praise God. It's all yours, brother.
Good morning. And, Pastor talked about Friday night, those of y'all were here, he talked about redundancy. And, he said the Bible to us and Scripture should be redundant to us. And with that being said, I was, and just as Brother Jim said, the longer I hang around Pastor Kevin, the more I understand how God works. And when I walked into his office and I saw him sitting in his chair and I looked at his face, I felt God tell me, get ready. And at that moment in time, I had no idea that I would be standing here. I really didn't. I obeyed. And I went home Friday night and I was praying. And I woke up Saturday morning, and I started thinking about the message that I believe we need to hear. And the thought when I was doing this, the redundancy that he kept talking about, Because my message is going to be redundant to some of us because we already know. Some of us, it's going to be something new. But the thing I've come to understand that even with us as Christians, even with the stuff that we have read over and over and over and we know that we know that we know, sometimes we need to go back to and just refresh and take a different approach to it maybe and maybe we can learn something. So the song that Brad sung, the last song he sung, I Am Redeemed. When we were talking about the order of the service this morning, I looked at him and I said, you know, that song goes right into the message I'm preaching. You know, and I didn't know that they were going to do that song this morning, but God did. I mean, you know, everything comes into order when we put, when we submit to God, everything works out exactly the way he wants it to work out. Sometimes we have to get out the way and let him operate. If you have your Bibles and you would like to, turn with me to Exodus 6, verse 6. Exodus 6, verse 6, and it says, therefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. Most of us understand that Jesus died on a cross for us with stretched out arms. He paid the ultimate price for mine and your salvation. Redemption is a biblical word that means a purchase or a ransom. Historically, redemption was used in reference to purchase a slave from freedom. A slave was redeemed when a price was paid for his freedom. God spoke of Israel's deliverance from slavery in Egypt in the verse we just read. Do we understand? I mean, do we really have a concept of the cost of salvation? I mean, if you think of it in human terms, what price do you put on a life? I mean, let that sink in a minute. It's in my humble opinion that there is no monetary value you can put on a person's life. One, because it's not ours. It was given to us. And two, I don't think that it's even humanly possible to calculate a cost. I heard somebody say one time, it might have been Pastor Kevin, it might not have been, but somebody said one time to a scientist, the human body is worth like $50. For the, you know, and I heard somebody else say one time that they would be willing to pay $10,000 for a liver for their son or daughter or wife or husband or whatever. To me, it's priceless. You know, in preparing for this message, I got on the computer and I looked at YouTube and I brought up some different videos of Christ's crucifixion. And let me tell you something, that impacted me in a way I hadn't been impacted in a long time. None of us can really know what Christ looked like. We have some ideas. We have pictures. And they were all really done by a man. But the two movies or videos, whatever you want to call them, that I looked at, when they pushed that crown of thorns on his head, when they whipped him with that whip, and I saw the flesh tearing from his back and the blood dripping from his face and down his face, it made me realize just how much of a price he paid to redeem me. When I think about I'm 51 years old. I'll be 52 in June. Christ died 2,000 years ago and thought of me. And I've only been walking this earth for 51 years. But he thought of me. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If we don't get to a point in our life but we have an attitude that we were redeemed and it's personal. It's not about anything I've done. It's about what he did. Excuse me. The use of redemption in the New Testament includes the same idea. Every person is a slave to sin. Only through the price Jesus paid on the cross is a sinful person redeemed from sin and death. Do we understand? I mean, do we really understand that salvation is a gift? All you got to do is accept it. All you got to do is accept it. Do you mind if I use Brother Anthony a minute? Come here, brother. You want to help me a second? Come here. What is that? You want it? Now, what did he just do? I offered him something. It's yours. Keep it, brother. I offered him something. Now, he thought about it a minute, and that's a great illustration, because did not we do the same thing before we accepted Christ? I hope you did. Let me tell you something about salvation and about Christianity. We're not perfect people. I am by far a perfect person. I have flaws. I have frailties. I have... Just talk to my wife if you don't believe me. She will tell you. I promise you. But my point is, when you think about the fact that this thing was given freely, and all we have to do is accept it. And I'm going to tell you something. If the pictures of Christ's crucifixion disturbs you, they should. If you're not impacted in some type of way when you see that, and I encourage every one of y'all, when you go home today, find a video of the crucifixion and watch it. Because I'm going to tell you something. It impacted me the same way it impacted me the first time I ever saw it. And it made me realize that this gift that he gave me is not something that I should take for granted. It's not something that I should take lightly. Eternal life and eternal salvation is based on my attitude towards what he did. And, you know, I like what Pastor Kevin says. I think he made some reference to it Friday night, or maybe it was Wednesday. It doesn't have nothing to do with the cross. He's not on the cross anymore. He's not on the cross anymore. And there's people, there's ministers behind one of those that are still preaching about the cross. That's just like I got, and I'm not hate speeching. I'm going to do like Pastor. I'm not hate speeching, but I got into a conversation Saturday with somebody who is a Catholic, and they made the thing about praying to Mary, and this is my statement I made to, role play with me a minute. You're praying to Mary. Why are you praying to Mary? She's dead. What can she do for you? Christ is alive. He's here with us. I wasn't trying to diminish this individual's belief, but I have the obligation to not, you know, don't judge me like Pastor says, but to point out incorrect doctrine. When you compare it to this, I mean, if it's wrong, if it's not in here, in my opinion, it's wrong. That's just the way it is. So, I lost my glasses. In Scripture, it is clear every person stands in the need of redemption. Why? Every person has sinned. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The following verse then reveals being justified freely by His grace through redemption in Jesus Christ, Romans 3:24. This verse contains two common words used by Paul to express salvation: justification and redemption. And it's not by anything I've done. It's by what He did. It's by the stripes that He took on His back, the crown of thorns that He had put on His head. You know, there's a song, and I can't remember the title of it, but a part of the chorus is, "He died rejected and alone." He died rejected and alone. Somebody made the comment to me one time that he didn't die alone because he had people standing around the foot of the cross. They don't get that part. You know, one of his things he said was, my God, why have you forsaken me?" A price had to be paid. In order to redeem us and to give us a life, we have to understand the significance behind redemption, justification, and salvation. I don't think there's one of us here that believes, and this is just my opinion, as a matter of fact, I'm going to do what Pastor Kevin does. I'm going to step down off the stage when I say this. I don't think there's one of us that believes that Christ wasn't thinking about them when they died, when He died. I am 130. I remember a minister I watched on TV one time. He made a statement that I thought was so powerful, and I had never heard it before. He knows exactly how many hairs are on your head. He's got each one of them numbered. That right there should tell you how big God is. He's got he knows exactly how many grains of sand are on any seashore. I mean, can you imagine the enormity of that? Go to a beach somewhere and just scoop up some sand and then try to count the grains in your hand. You ain't doing it. I've tried. It's not happening. But the price that he paid for salvation, and then it's a free gift. Just like he did with that candy that I gave him. He hesitated a minute because I watched him. Y'all couldn't see him, but I watched him. He stood right here, and out the corner of his eye, he was looking at Grandma. And he was thinking, should I do this or should I not? And I guarantee you, we have all had the same hesitation before we came to know Christ. Whether you admit it to yourself or not is irrelevant. You had that hesitation. Should I do this? Because it's a free gift that we just have to reach out and take. And be willing to let God impact us in a way that only He can impact us. And I tell you this, I don't care what your relationship with God is. It's none of my business. I don't care if you're saved or not saved. I believe I'm looking at 25 or 30 saved individuals. As a rapture, as a pastor says, if the rapture happened right now, I think we'd all go up. This church would be empty. But you know, you're the only one that can truly determine that. It's a thing that we all have to look at in our own way. But I'll tell you this, if you're impacted by this right here, if you'll allow God, not man, I tell this to people all the time. Listen to the message and not the messenger. And I can tell you this right now, every scripture I've gave you comes straight out of here. I didn't read some of them because I'd be here till Wednesday reading all the scriptures I found on this. But if we let God impact us through this, through daily reading and studying, the things that will happen to us will be astronomical. I mean, it's just a way of letting Him impact us the way nobody can. Hebrews 9:15 says that Jesus is the mentor of the new covenant, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. And for this cause, he is the mentor of the New Testament by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, which they are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You know, I've heard many people describe heaven in different ways, and none of us really know what, we won't know what heaven's really like until we get there. But you know what? I'm willing to believe that there's streets paved with gold. I'm willing to believe that life will be not much different than it is right now. Only we'll spend our time praising God instead of working for man. You know? And you know, the more I think about it, and the more I'm around Pastor, I'm starting to get his same idea. I don't have a death wish, but I have a heaven destination. I could care less if I fell over right here. Y'all just push me under the altar and go about your business, because I'm not here. I'm in heaven. And it's based on the knowledge of what I read in this book right here, and I am 100% thoroughly convinced that through his death on that cross and his burial and resurrection, that I have been redeemed. I have been bought with a price. You know, the more and more I get into this, and don't take this in a negative way, because it's not meant in a negative way, but the more and more I get into this, the less and less I care what you think. Or you. Or you. If I'm going to allow her or him or her or you or what impact me more than this, then there's something wrong with my walk with God. There's something seriously wrong with my relationship with Christ if I'm going to allow a human being to impact me more than God's Word. You know, I'm thoroughly convinced that we have to come as a society, as a nation. We have to get serious about this. Just turn on the news. Read the paper. Listen to the chatter at the coffee shops. The whole world is filled with me, 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 me. You know. Can I share what you shared with me in Sunday school about the bush, about the planting? Brother Dylan told me that he did some work this weekend for what, it was a neighbor or something? And I asked him, I said, did you get paid for it? He goes, no. I said, well, what'd you get for it? What'd you tell me? Charity. How old are you? Coming from a 14-year-old. He did something. And is happy he didn't get nothing. Well, I shouldn't say that, because you got a good feeling for doing something for somebody else. Did you not? So you did get some pay for it. And you know what my response was, to him was? Payment doesn't always come in monetary. You can do something for some, just like Christ dying on that cross. He paid a price. We didn't get something monetarily for that. But you know what we did? You know what we did get? And it's free for the taking? It's freedom. Redemption. Forgiveness of sin. Do you understand the impact of that? I mean, can we grasp a hold of that concept for just a minute? And understand that when we place our life, you know, I made this statement. I went to Pastor May's church a couple of, matter of fact, I went last Sunday, but this conversation took place, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago. A bunch of us were standing after the service, and I looked at Pastor May and Brother Elijah, and I said, you know, if we don't allow ourselves, if we don't let ourselves, if we don't allow ourselves to submit to a man who is being impacted by God, how do we know if we're right or not? And it's not about the man, it's about what the man is about. I love Pastor Kevin because he's all about this. It's not about opinion. It's about what this book says. And me, as somebody who wants to learn everything I can about this book, I have to be willing to submit not only to God, but I have to be willing to submit to an authority that I can reach out and I can touch. And I can say, hey, brother, can you show me what I don't understand? And not be embarrassed to say, I don't understand. Because we're not going to know everything. You know, I know parts about this book that Brother Jim might not know, or Brother Dennis. But you know what? I can go to Pastor Kevin and say, hey, I don't understand this, or am I interpreting this wrong, or am I whatever? And he'll sit down and he'll say, well, this is the way, you know, or we need to look at this, and he breaks out, and this is what I love about him. He breaks out his Greek and Hebrew dictionary. If he's not for sure, he's not scared to tell you he don't know. He'll flat out say, look, I don't know, but I'll get back to you. And you can expect a call within a couple of days. if not that night. Because he'll go home, look it up, and say, here you go. But we have to be willing to do the same thing when we're talking about the redemptive power of Christ. We have to be willing to understand that there are things that happened that day that we know absolutely nothing about. And unless he chooses to reveal that to us, we never will. Redemption provides several benefits for the believer. And I'm going to give you these scriptures. If you want to write them down, you can write them down and look at them later, because it's a little too many to go through. Eternal life, Revelation 5, 9 through 10, or 9 and 10. Forgiveness of sin, a right relationship with God, peace with God, the Holy Spirit to live within, the adoption into God's family. Now that is powerful right there. You know another word, Pastor Wednesday night, I think it was Wednesday night, he talked about the names. Wasn't that Wednesday night he brought out the poster? Talked about the names of God. You know what another name for Jesus is? You know who he is other than our Redeemer? He's our groomsman. He's our husband. We are his bride. We are his bride. Do you get the impact of that? You know, the Bible says that the Bible commands men to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And when I think about that, I do it very inadequately. Very inadequately when I compare myself to Christ. I do the best I can as a human to love my wife and to honor my wife and to be the spiritual head of our household. But sometimes I absolutely fail miserably. But it doesn't mean I don't keep trying. Because God is my teacher. Christ is my teacher. I get the way I'm supposed to treat my wife from this. Most of y'all don't know this, and because you've probably never looked, but and I did this specifically. My wedding ring has got a cross on it. And every time I look at that wedding ring, though I've not been perfect at doing it, every time I look at that ring, it reminds me I'm to treat my wife like Christ treated the church. And that can be a difficult thing for somebody of flesh and blood who has a free will to understand that as men, we, Brother Billy, do we not have a responsibility as men to be the spiritual head of our household?
Sir.
Are we perfect at it?
Sir.
Absolutely not. But I tell you what, I think, and again, my wife can attest to this, I'm probably a little better today than I was last year. I've probably grown just a little bit. But you got to understand, being impacted by God and understanding the fact that we are, and, you know, I never put the correlation between my message, this church, and that song until I walked in here, and me and him and Sister Patricia were going over the song service this morning. That every time you come in this church, you see it right out there. Redeemed Fellowship. We sing that song, I don't know, a lot. I am redeemed. And then to understand the passages in the Bible and to look at what Christ went through and the price he paid through his death, burial, and resurrection should impact us greatly. Sister Jennifer, can you come to the piano, please? As believers in Jesus Christ, we who are the bride of Christ wait with great anticipation for the day when we will be united with our bridegroom. Until then, we remain faithful to him and say with all the redeemed of the Lord, come, Lord Jesus. I made a statement earlier, and I'm going to reiterate it. I don't know what your relationship with God is, and it's none of my business. I don't know if you're struggling with some issues, or if you're trying to make a decision, or if you have some other aspect of life that you're dealing with. But I do know this, and Brother Jim related to it earlier. Prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things. See this right here? It's here every Sunday. It's here every Sunday. Prayer changes things. You got a circumstance in your life that you're not for sure what direction to take? Prayer changes. You got a loved one that's not saved? Prayer changes. Pastor says it every Sunday, standing from this podium. He prays for his granddaughter to get healed. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. It might not ever happen. But should that keep us from praying because we don't understand the outcome of something that might be? I would much rather spend time in prayer for something that I don't know what the outcome is going to be than I would to sit there and stress over something that I can't change anyway. What I want to do, just for a few minutes, I want to open these altars up. Come, sit, do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. But I encourage you, if you've got something that you need God to impact you on, and you can think about the redemptive power of Christ, and you can understand that it's his will, not ours, that is done, he will impact you in a way that will just astound you.